So I'm going to continue dealing with the word of the Lord from the book of Joshua. And we're talking about the harlot, the prostitute, Rahab. A little background information about Rahab, in case you have heard her name, but you don't really know who she is. Again, her name is mentioned in the second chapter of Joshua, and it was she who saved the nation. Once again, a woman. Hey, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I digress. So we're talking about Rahab. So in Jewish tradition, Rahab is primarily known for her role in the conquest of Jericho and her assistance to the Israelite spies. She helped them to escape the wrath of those who were pursuing them. She celebrated for her faith in God, the God of Israel, and for her bravery in aiding the Israelites. She did not know God for herself, but she had heard about what God had done for the Hebrew people, and that produced faith. And on that note, I'd like to say, when people hear of your testimony, when they see what God has done for you, that's going to put faith in them to also believe, whether you were healed, delivered, set free, saved, promoted, blessed with $1 million, however you, the glory of God is being revealed in your life, they are going to see that and they are going to want it. And they're going to want God, the God that you serve. They're going to want some of that. Okay, so keep letting your light shine. And while the biblical narrative doesn't provide the main account of Rahab's story, Jewish tradition may offer additional interpretations or commentary on her character and action. This isn't an extensive information about Rahab. There isn't, beyond what is found in the biblical text. So we're not going to speculate a lot, but we'll say that as a harlot, as a prostitute, and as a mother, she did what she had to do to make it. And again, I digress just a bit. There's some people who are basically prostituting themselves, selling their bodies for gain. There's some women that are doing this, and men. And it's not because they're evil people. They may have just started it because they needed money. And then there are people who are doing it, and they don't even know they're doing it. They don't even know that they're prostituting themselves just so their rent could get paid. So they're letting that man come by, and they know he's going to bring money, and they know he's going to bring gifts and this and that and the other. And they're prostituting themselves for gain. They haven't been labeled a harlot or a prostitute, but you better check yourself if you're guilty of doing those things, God forbid. So I told you before that Rahab was a part of the genealogy of Jesus, and that's recorded in the Gospels in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, and in the Gospel of Luke. And each one of these provides a slightly different genealogical tracking. But they both trace Jesus' lineage back to King David and ultimately to Abraham. So in the Gospel of Matthew, specifically in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, the genealogy is presented in the form of a list of ancestors. You know, you do ancestry DNA and you can find your ancestry. Well, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, there was an ancestry DNA kit done in the spirit, and it traced Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin in a little town called Bethlehem, all the way back to his ancestors, starting with Abraham. Wow. That's amazing. And it highlights key figures such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, and Rahab. Rahab is mentioned in Matthew's genealogy, forgive me, because Matthew's genealogy is, it takes it differently. Pardon me. Matthew's genealogy shows Rahab as the mother of Boaz, who was the husband of Ruth. Well, in the Gospel of Luke, the genealogy is presented in reverse order, beginning with Jesus and tracing his lineage, back to Adam. While the genealogy in Luke does not specifically mention Rahab, it does include many other figures from Jewish history. And these genealogies serve to establish Jesus as royal and religious in heritage, as a descendant of David, and as a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah. So, let me encapsulate what I just said by saying that Rahab is in your genealogy. There's a Rahab in your genealogy. How do I know that? Because human nature is such that we have all kinds of people in our genealogy. There we go. We have all kinds of people. The good, the bad, the ugly, the prosperous, the wealthy, the beautiful, the rich, the famous, in our genealogy, some of whom we will never meet, never knew, and will never even know about. But that doesn't stop God from using what is our history according to the word of God in Romans 8:28 and work it all together for our good. When we are ones who love the Lord and are the called according to God's purpose. Rahab is not the one you would have invited to the Thanksgiving dinner. Rahab is not the one you wanted to be your bridesmaid. Rahab is not the one you wanted to raise your developing daughters. But Rahab was a part of the genealogy of Christ. And had she not been there, then we would not have had the descendants that were in the family of God that came all the way down through generations until finally the Christ was born. Amen. So don't dismiss the Rahabs in your family. They have a purpose. You just wait and see. Okay, I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 2. Let me just back up just a little bit with Rahab's petition. I'll actually start where she talks about how she heard. This is verse 10 of chapter 2. She said, Rahab speaking, "For we have heard how God dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Shion, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." Rahab is saying, I heard about this. Your testimony has gone before you. I know who you are. The buzz in the air has been, wow, don't mess with those people. The God of the heavens is on their side. Verse 11 says, "As soon as we heard these things," Rahab speaking, our hearts did melt. "Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." You know, there are people who don't even know the Lord in a personal, real way, but they know God in that he's powerful, he's majestic, he's awesome, and they attribute the things that they see and that they've heard about to the true and living God, the God of heaven and earth. Come on now. If this person can acknowledge the power of God and they're not a believer born again of the Spirit of God, then what's your problem? Why can't you acknowledge God in what you're seeing around you? Why can't you acknowledge God as sovereign, as Lord, as Savior, as Redeemer, as the Mighty One of Israel? Why can't you acknowledge God as the God who sent His Word into the, became, His Word became flesh, and His flesh, the Word of God, Jesus, dwelt among men? That's what the Word of God says. Believe it, receive it, and your life will be changed. Okay. Verse 12, she says, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land," listen to the positive statement that these men are saying, "when the Lord has given us the land," not if the Lord has given us the land, when, they're speaking those things that be not as though they are. "When the Lord has given us the land," we need to talk like God wants us to talk. Confess what He has said, promise, and believe it. And if we believe it, we will confess it. "That we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. I can imagine that this wasn't the first time that Rahab let some men down by a cord, sneaking them out of her house. But this time, I remember I just had a memory. I remember when I was in my first church after I graduated from college, I was sitting under the ministry of a bishop. And while preaching, he would often use the expression faux day creeper. And I'm thinking, what is a faux day creeper? He'd just be preaching at high pitch, talking about a faux day creeper. And I was mystified. I had no idea what a faux day creeper was. Well, faux day creepers were those who got out of the house before the day broke. They weren't supposed to be there. They were sleeping with somebody they shouldn't be sleeping with. And they had to leave before day so they wouldn't be seen. You know what I'm talking about. You know. All right, moving on. All righty. So she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain." By the way, Salmon, his name is spelled S-A-L-M-O-N, and Rahab were the parents of Boaz. And that tells me that Salmon must have been one of those faux day creepers. I'm not going to malign his name, and the Bible doesn't tell me that, but it does tell me that Rahab was a harlot. Okay, you do the history, you research it for yourself. I'm going to drop that nugget of truth for you so you understand that God has purpose, even with that child that doesn't have a father, or you don't know who the father is. You couldn't tell the father if that father walked up to you right now because you were in your drunken state. You were doing things that you never should have been doing, caught in a place that you never should have been in. You let your guards down. You succumbed to the temptations of the hour. And before you knew it, there was you were expecting. Okay. God has purpose even in that. That baby is conceived by the power of God, miraculous power of God, bringing together a sperm and an egg in your womb and implanting it and producing life. And it belongs to God. That life belongs to God. So you talk to God about that life before you dare decide you want to end it. Okay, moving on. And she said to them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread, that's the scarlet thread of redemption, in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house hold home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in thy house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou wilt utter this business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line to the window. I'm going to stop there at verse 21 of chapter 2 of Joshua. We're talking about Rahab and how God used her both then in the days of Joshua when they took the city. And they came into Canaan, were going into Canaan, and the spies were coming to spy out the land. How God used her then, how God used her in her life, and how she was a part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. I just want to say to you in conclusion in this part that God can use anything and anybody that is yielded to him. He's a master builder, a master creator, a mighty God. There's nothing too hard for him. Don't throw away anything. I'm not telling you to be a hoarder. Okay, that's another subject and another time and another discussion. I'm telling you, when it comes to people, don't throw anybody away. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Believe God for them. And if you're steadfast and unmovable in your faith, you will see God turn their lives around and they will be a vessel that God will ultimately use. A point to remember, it's about the scarlet thread of redemption. I tell anybody and everybody, read your Bible. Everything in it is pointing to the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. He shed his blood for our redemption. That scarlet thread bespeaks of the blood of Jesus, that line of redemption, that vital cord upon which if we grab hold, we will be saved and delivered and set free. She was told to bind a line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and bring thy father and mother into your home. Anybody that leaves the home and doesn't obey, they will perish because They went their own way. They went outside of God's plan trying to get to heaven. They went outside of God's plan trying to get the blessings. You can't do that. You have to go the way that God said. It's only because of the blood. Because the blood was shed for you. That's the only way you're going to be saved. You have to apply the blood of Jesus. So today, that scarlet thread of redemption is stretched out to you, and it flows from the cross of Calvary. Where sinners plunge beneath that flood and remove all their sins away. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes away your sins and mine. It cleanses our heart, our mind, our soul. It makes us whole. It's because of the blood that you and I are saved, healed, delivered, and set free. Do you believe in the power of the blood? I'm going to pray for you right now, and I pray that you will experience that power today as you go your way in faith, confessing, Lord, I believe. So, Father, we bow our heads in a word of prayer. We thank you for your word from Joshua chapter 2. We thank you for the life of Rahab, who is in your genealogy as a man in the earth realm, God man in the earth realm with a genealogy that we can look into the word of God and find in the Gospels. I pray that we would embrace our genealogies, our heritage, our loved ones, the good, the bad, the ugly, the evil, and even the wicked, the imprisoned, the ill-famed, the ones who we don't want to be around. Those, let us pray for them. Let us be an intercessor like Rahab. She says, save my mother, save my brothers, save my father, save everyone in my household, save everything that they have, save. That was Rahab's prayer. Pray for your family. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for the ungodly, the intemperate, the vile, the wicked, the evil, the unsavory. Pray for them. They're a part of your blood. Have as much compassion on them as Rahab the harlot had on her family. Help us all to do that, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. And for the unsaved who may be listening, may this be a time where you open up your heart to Jesus and say, Lord, save me. I'm yours. Forgive me. I'm yours. I give my life to you today, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins, and I thank you for doing that now. Amen and amen. Well, that's all for now. God bless you as we continue the book of Joshua. So I'm going to continue dealing with the word of the Lord from the book of Joshua. And we're talking about the harlot, the prostitute, Rahab. A little background information about Rahab, in case you have heard her name, but you don't really know who she is. Again, her name is mentioned in the second chapter of Joshua, and it was she who saved the nation. Once again, a woman. Hey, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I digress. So we're talking about Rahab. So in Jewish tradition, Rahab is primarily known for her role in the conquest of Jericho and her assistance to the Israelite spies. She helped them to escape the wrath of those who were pursuing them. She celebrated for her faith in God, the God of Israel, and for her bravery in aiding the Israelites. She did not know God for herself, but she had heard about what God had done for the Hebrew people, and that produced faith. And on that note, I'd like to say, when people hear of your testimony, when they see what God has done for you, that's going to put faith in them to also believe. Whether you were healed, delivered, set free, saved, promoted, blessed with $1 million, however you, the glory of God is being revealed in your life, they are going to see that and they are going to want it. And they're going to want God, the God that you serve. They're going to want some of that. Okay? So keep letting your light shine. And while the biblical narrative doesn't provide the main account of Rahab's story, Jewish tradition may offer additional interpretations or commentary on her character and action. This isn't an extensive information about Rahab. There isn't, beyond what is found in the biblical text. So we're not going to speculate a lot, but we'll say that as a harlot, as a prostitute, and as a mother, she did what she had to do to make it. And again, I digress just a bit. There's some people who are basically prostituting themselves, selling their bodies for gain. There's some women that are doing this, and men. And it's not because they're evil people. They may have just started it because they needed money. And then there are people who are doing it and they don't even know they're doing it. They don't even know that they're prostituting themselves just so their rent could get paid. So they're letting that man come by and they know he's going to bring money and they know he's going to bring gifts and this and that and the other. And they're prostituting themselves for gain. They haven't been labeled a harlot or a prostitute, but you better check yourself if you're guilty of doing those things. God forbid. So I told you before that Rahab was a part of the genealogy of Jesus. And that's recorded in the Gospels in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, and in the Gospel of Luke. And each one of these provides a slightly different genealogical tracking. But they both trace Jesus' lineage back to King David and ultimately to Abraham. So in the Gospel of Matthew, specifically in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, the genealogy is presented in the form of a list of ancestors. You know, you do ancestry DNA and you can find your ancestry. Well, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, there was an ancestry DNA kit done in the spirit, and it traced Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin in a little town called Bethlehem, all the way back to his ancestors, starting with Abraham. Wow, that's amazing. And it highlights key figures such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, and Rahab. Rahab is mentioned in Matthew's genealogy, forgive me, because Matthew's genealogy is, it takes it differently. Pardon me. Matthew's genealogy shows Rahab as the mother of Boaz, who was the husband of Ruth. Well, in the Gospel of Luke, the genealogy is presented in reverse order, beginning with Jesus and tracing his lineage, back to Adam. While the genealogy in Luke does not specifically mention Rahab, it does include many other figures from Jewish history. And these genealogies serve to establish Jesus as royal and religious in heritage, as a descendant of David, and as a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah. So, let me encapsulate what I just said by saying that Rahab is in your genealogy. There's a Rahab in your genealogy. How do I know that? Because human nature is such that we have all kinds of people in our genealogy. There we go. We have all kinds of people. The good, the bad, the ugly, the prosperous, the wealthy, the beautiful, the rich, the famous, in our genealogy, some of whom we will never meet, never knew, and will never even know about. But that doesn't stop God from using what is our history according to the word of God in Romans 8:28 and work it all together for our good. When we are ones who love the Lord and are the called according to God's purpose. Rahab is not the one you would have invited to the Thanksgiving dinner. Rahab is not the one you wanted to be your bridesmaid. Rahab is not the one you wanted to raise your developing daughters. But Rahab was a part of the genealogy of Christ. And had she not been there, then we would not have had the descendants that were in the family of God that came all the way down through generations until finally the Christ was born. Amen. So don't dismiss the Rahabs in your family. They have a purpose. You just wait and see. Okay, I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 2. Let me just back up just a little bit with Rahab's petition. I'll actually start where she talks about how she heard. This is verse 10 of chapter 2. She said, Rahab speaking, "For we have heard how God dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Shion, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." Rahab is saying, I heard about this. Your testimony has gone before you. I know who you are. The buzz in the air has been, wow, don't mess with those people. The God of the heavens is on their side. Verse 11 says, "As soon as we heard these things," Rahab speaking, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." You know, there are people who don't even know the Lord in a personal, real way, but they know God in that he's powerful, he's majestic, he's awesome, and they attribute the things that they see and that they've heard about to the true and living God, the God of heaven and earth. Come on now. If this person can acknowledge the power of God, and they're not a believer born again of the Spirit of God, then what's your problem? Why can't you acknowledge God in what you're seeing around you? Why can't you acknowledge God as sovereign, as Lord, as Savior, as Redeemer, as the Mighty One of Israel? Why can't you acknowledge God as the God who sent His Word into the became His Word became flesh, and His flesh, the Word of God, Jesus, dwelt among men? That's what the Word of God says. Believe it, receive it, and your life will be changed. Okay, verse 12, she says, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land," listen to the positive statement that these men are saying, "when the Lord has given us the land," not if the Lord has given us the land, when they're speaking those things that be not as though they are. "When the Lord has given us the land," we need to talk like God wants us to talk. Confess what He has said, promise, and believe it. And if we believe it, we will confess it. "That we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. I can imagine that this wasn't the first time that Rahab let some men down by a cord, sneaking them out of her house. But this time, I remember I just had a memory. I remember when I was in my first church after I graduated from college, I was sitting under the ministry of a bishop. And while preaching, he would often use the expression "faux-day creeper." And I'm thinking, what is a faux-day creeper? He'd just be preaching at high pitch, talking about a faux-day creeper. And I was mystified. I had no idea what a faux-day creeper was. Well, faux-day creepers were those who got out of the house before the day broke. They weren't supposed to be there. They were sleeping with somebody they shouldn't be sleeping with. And they had to leave before day so they wouldn't be seen. You know what I'm talking about. You know. All right, moving on. All righty. So she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, as she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain." By the way, Salmon, his name is spelled S-A-L-M-O-N, and Rahab were the parents of Boaz. And that tells me that Salmon must have been one of those faux-day creepers. I'm not going to malign his name, and the Bible doesn't tell me that, but it does tell me that Rahab was a harlot. Okay, you do the history, you research it for yourself. I'm going to drop that nugget of truth for you, so you understand that God has purpose, even with that child that, excuse me, doesn't have a father, or you don't know who the father is. You couldn't tell the father if that father walked up to you right now, because you were in your drunken state. You were doing things that you never should have been doing, caught in a place that you never should have been in. You let your guards down. You succumbed to the temptations of the hour. And before you knew it, there was you were expecting. Okay. God has purpose even in that. That baby is conceived by the power of God, miraculous power of God, bringing together a sperm and an egg in your womb and implanting it, and producing life. And it belongs to God. That life belongs to God. So you talk to God about that life before you dare decide you want to end it. Okay, moving on. And she said to them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread," that's the scarlet thread of redemption, "in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in thy house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou wilt utter this business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line to the window. I'm going to stop there at verse 21 of chapter 2 of Joshua. We're talking about Rahab and how God used her both then in the days of Joshua when they took the city and they came into Canaan, were going into Canaan, and the spies were coming to spy out the land. How God used her then, how God used her in her life, and how she was a part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. I just want to say to you in conclusion in this part that God can use anything and anybody that is yielded to him. He's a master builder, a master creator, a mighty God. There's nothing too hard for him. Don't throw away anything. I'm not telling you to be a hoarder. Okay, that's another subject and another time and another discussion. I'm telling you, when it comes to people, don't throw anybody away. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Believe God for them. And if you're steadfast and unmovable in your faith, you will see God turn their lives around and they will be a vessel that God will ultimately use. A point to remember, it's about the scarlet thread of redemption. I tell anybody and everybody, read your Bible. Everything in it is pointing to the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. He shed his blood for our redemption. That scarlet thread bespeaks of the blood of Jesus, that line of redemption, that vital cord upon which if we grab hold, we will be saved and delivered and set free. She was told to bind a line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and bring thy father and mother into your home. Anybody that leaves the home and doesn't obey, they will be perished. They will perish because they went their own way. They went outside of God's plan trying to get to heaven. They went outside of God's plan trying to get the blessings. You can't do that. You have to go the way that God said. It's only because of the blood. Because the blood was shed for you. That's the only way you're going to be saved. You have to apply the blood. the blood of Jesus. So today, that scarlet thread of redemption is stretched out to you, and it flows from the cross of Calvary. Where sinners plunge beneath that flood and remove all their sins away. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes away your sins and mine. It cleanses our heart, our mind, our soul. It makes us whole. It's because of the blood that you and I are saved, healed, delivered, and set free. Do you believe in the power of the blood? I'm going to pray for you right now. And I pray that you will experience that power today as you go your way in faith, confessing, Lord, I believe. So, Father, we bow our heads in a word of prayer. We thank you for your word from Joshua chapter 2. We thank you for the life of Rahab, who is in your genealogy as a man in the earth realm, God man in the earth realm with a genealogy that we can look into the word of God and find in the gospels. I pray that we would embrace our genealogies, our heritage, our loved ones, the good, the bad, the ugly, the evil, and even the wicked, the imprisoned, the ill-famed, the ones who we don't want to be around. Those, let us pray for them. Let us be an intercessor like Rahab. She says, save my mother, save my brothers, save my father, save everyone in my household, save everything that they have, save. That was Rahab's prayer. Pray for your family. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for the ungodly, the intemperate, the vile, the wicked, the evil, the unsavory. Pray for them. They're a part of your blood. Have as much compassion on them as Rahab the harlot had on her family. Help us all to do that, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. And for the unsaved who may be listening, may this be a time where you open up your heart to Jesus and say, Lord, save me. I'm yours. Forgive me. I'm yours. I give my life to you today, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins, and I thank you for doing that now. Amen and amen. Well, that's all for now. God bless you as we continue the book of Joshua.